of the greatest strikers ever to grace Merseyside.
And an absolute classic from Graham Charles.
Four goals for John Aldridge.
0151 4720 967.
The Legends with Aldo and Sharpie.
On Radio City and Radio City Talk.
Good evening, 6:30 on your Monday. Where did that season go? And where did John Aldridge go as well? Nowhere to be seen for the past week. Don't worry, Graham Sharp's here tonight. You want to talk anything Everton, 4720967. Evening, Sharpie.
Evening,
and David Thompson is our man who's going to take Aldo's position tonight, just in case you want to catch up on the Reds. Evening to you, Tomo. Right, boys. It always feels the same, doesn't it? Massively quick season. You get to November, then all of a sudden the rest of the months just fly by in a flash. So tonight's a bit about a review, I suppose, for both sides.
Yeah, but obviously Liverpool's is the one. The weekend is the one to talk about. Obviously, they just missed out. You know, Manchester City won it. I was just thinking throughout the season, Liverpool had a 7-point lead, didn't they, at one stage?
It was more than that. It was nine.
Was it nine?
Nine points, but City had the game in hand.
Yeah. So
9 points, and then, of course, there was the draws with Leicester, and there was another one, West Ham. Wasn't there West Ham away, Tomo? There was a few, wasn't there?
I think the one that Sharpie's talking about there was the game at the Etihad. Liverpool could have gone 10 points clear if they'd have won that game.
That was the one, wasn't it? Yeah.
So, obviously, City won the game and it went down to four.
And that ball was millimetres from crossing the line,
yeah,
of course.
Yeah, but you look at that and talked about it before, and the fact that they won all their games, which was incredible. They never, you know, when you had to do it, they had to say, oh, can you see? And I remember Aldo used to always say kind of thing, you can't see City losing, and you go like that, and you go, nah, they've got some games here, they're going to slip up, kind of thing. But for them to go, that is incredible. You know, and Liverpool to go one defeat in the whole season, unbelievable.
If you'd have said with 14 games to go, City need to win all their games to win the league, you'd have just said no chance. Absolutely no chance. What they've done, what they've achieved, was near enough Mission Impossible.
So to win 14 in a row, imagine if you're in that side. That sort of challenge is
it was relentless.
Now and impossible, isn't it?
It was relentless performance for them. And then, you know, I knew sometimes they won the games playing entertainment football, but then when it started getting to the crunch, they were just happy to you know, they were like boring Arsenal in the end. They were winning 1-0, but the last game of the season, I knew it was going to be an anticlimax. I knew they were going to blow them away. And I don't think they doubted it themselves.
Leicester was the one with the company's goal. You know, you're looking at that, petering out to a draw 0-0, and you're thinking they slipped up, and that's what happens when you win leagues and you go in runs like that. You just think, I don't care if we go behind, we're going to win this, we're going to get something from it. I think they just had the mentality, as did Liverpool, that they just ground out results, you know, and ran over. I would say that watching a little bit of Man City yesterday, it was easy. It was an easy end of season game. You know, I always thought that Liverpool Wolves would be the more difficult one. Brighton, that couldn't get anywhere near, didn't lay a glove on them. They ran out comfortable winners. Liverpool 2-0 at Wolves. Wolves are always going to be tough, but listen, they've gone close. They've gone close, but you've got to take your hat off to City, and we always say the best team wins the league. You know, whatever we want to put the best team.
I think Liverpool have given them a great run for the money, but eventually the best team with the best squad and the biggest budget in probably Europe has won the league.
I've done a few events over the weekend with different former players and a current player as well. On Friday night I was with Luis Garcia doing an event, and I said to him, Luis, if you finish a point behind Man City as a player, you know, do you reflect on that and are you happy about it? He said, no, I'm absolutely devastated.
Yeah.
Because all the conversation from a lot of Liverpool fans for the past few weeks has been, wow, we should be so proud. But actually, I don't think the players feel that way. And yesterday, Jordan Henderson was in our lounge, and I sort of put the same thing to him. Yeah. He was utterly gutted. I wonder whether you need to learn how to lose to actually make the next step forward the year after.
The way you can, this team is definitely improving. It's definitely progressing, as is the squad. 1 point difference behind City.
I mean, would you be happy?
It's hard to take, but you can't judge progression just with trophies. I mean, there is a progression, not just with the team and the squad, but the club as a whole. You know, the business model off the pitch with the recruitments over the last two seasons. It's in a great position. So it is disappointing that you miss out on a, you know, on the league by 1 point. You know, you get that far and you lose by 1 point. But ultimately, that club is progressing, that team is progressing, and teams are scared of Liverpool Football Club.
But you are judged on trophies, aren't you?
Of course,
yeah.
Listen, they've done ever so well, and quite rightly. But if you ask the players, they play to win. They play to win something. You played all those games in the league. You want to win. Listen, they came within a point. You know, they were unlucky, but you don't tell them that. You know, they'll be gutted the next month. They'll be gutted after the game. Because as Bill Shankly says, first is first, second is nothing. You know, and that was a long, long time ago, but it still means the same for players. It's like losing in the cup final. It's a nightmare. It doesn't get any better. Mm. You know, it doesn't get any better as the years progress. They have been that close and just missed out. But don't try and tell them that. You know, they wanted to win. They're winners. They want to win. And until, and I keep seeing about Man City, the first cup was a Carabao Cup, and it gives the players the belief and everybody the belief that it can go on. And that's what I keep saying, that Klopp's first one is so important, whether it be the Carabao Cup, the FA Cup, the Champions League, whatever. Mm. It's the first one. And then they kick on from
just
there.
Just got to get one, hasn't
it? But Sharpie, you've got to look at what team has finished above Liverpool. Is a team that's going for a domestic treble. Mm. And, you know, ultimately, for the last two seasons, they've been unfortunate not to qualify for Champions League final.
Mm. They're just 195 points, the combined tally between City and Liverpool. 195. It's silly, isn't it?
What's your record over the two years for points?
198.
198. Wow. Nearly 200 points in two seasons. Wow.
What does it do in terms of setting the bar for next season? What do you think, you two? Will it be as similarly close?
I think it will be similar. I can't see Tottenham and Chelsea improving so much. I can't see Manchester United improving. I mean, if you look at it, Wolves, 57 points. They've had an incredible season, but they're still over 30 points behind Liverpool, or nearly 30 points behind Liverpool. It's, you know, that's the difference. I think next season we're probably looking at a similar situation.
Well, Tottenham in fourth lost 13 games this season. Is it? I think that's 14, actually. I think this table might be wrong. I think they've lost 14
games.
We
said last week, City and Liverpool are miles ahead of the rest. The rest have got big jobs in their hand. Chelsea don't know what the situation is. Hazard looks as if he's going. Sarri, the manager, might be on his way. Turnover of players, they've got a transfer ban. You wouldn't expect them to be challenged the top two. Tottenham moved into a new stadium. Pochettino, will he still be there?
He said this is his best season with Tottenham as well.
Mm-hmm. So you're looking at them. Arsenal, no, I don't think they'll challenge. Man United, no, they've got massive problems kind of thing. So I think the top two will be the top two next year. But you like to think that somebody else out of the pack would challenge a little bit better, but I can't see it.
I think City have been unfortunate as well this year. They had injuries to key players. Silva for 5-6 weeks, Fernandinho 5-6 weeks, Kevin De Bruyne from large portion of the season. I think he only came back at the beginning of January. So I think if they'd have had them players fit, they'd done well to cope as much as they did, but to have them players fit, they did drop a few points, which allowed Liverpool to kick on and extend that lead. So I think Liverpool knew they would have needed the cushion, because City are such a quality team.
Some big pluses for Liverpool in terms of the two golden boot scorers. Three of them share it, don't they? Aubameyang and Salah alongside Mane, 22 goals. So that's fantastic. Two seasons on the trot. People doubted whether Salah could do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And at the end of the day, he's not a striker. He's a winger. He's a winger come striker. But hats off to Sadio Mane. Gradual improvement since he's come to Liverpool. And he's starting to show signs that he is actually world class. And you know, his work rate, his skill, how dynamic he is when he's in a one-on-one situation. He skins people, and now he's adding to his goals tally. So it's a quality achievement from Sadio Mane, but also another quality achievement for Mo Salah.
Golden gloves for the keeper, and of course the Player of the Year award for Virgil van Dijk. So lots of tributes being paid to various players in the Liverpool side. Let's move to Everton. Everton finished the season just outside that pack. Look, eighth place. You'd have probably said seventh, eighth at the start of the season. They're sort of where you expected. Could things have been a lot different if not for that mid-season slump, Sharpie?
Yeah, obviously I think so. Listen, everybody can say that with some certain parts of the season it wasn't for them. But no, we had a run of games. We were really, really poor. Didn't know where the next win was coming from. Manager getting a little bit stick. Zonal marking getting battered.
What was the turning point for them and Sharpie?
They started the season well, Dave. I thought they started the season well. They played good football. Everybody was optimistic. And then, for some reason...
It was after the Liverpool game, wasn't it?
It was. People say the Liverpool game... Was that the game that kind of stopped them a little bit? I don't see that. I think, OK, they lost the game to Liverpool in the last minute, so what? Get on with it. I don't necessarily agree that that was a game that...
It affected them.
It didn't affect them. How could it
did affect them. Of course it did.
As a footballer, how could that affect you?
I'm sorry, that's all we heard for the weeks that followed after
that
goal.
What I saw was a great performance at Anfield. One of the best performances of the season at Anfield. Yeah. I think they left it all on the pitch. Obviously, they had conceding a dodgy goal in the last kick of the game. Mm-hmm. But from that point, they never got to that level again. And that's why I say, was that a catalyst for a downturn?
But as footballers, you go to Anfield and listen, you're gutted, you lose in the last minute, you played well kind of thing. But I don't think you have necessarily a downward slump. And people saying that was a game that, you know, from there they went downhill and it was the... Wasn't that? They had problems where, you know, the Mina coming in and the centre-backs... I had this zonal marking thing and people were battering the manager. I was backing the manager saying, listen, players need to take responsibilities. And I looked at the players and they weren't taking the responsibility. There wasn't any leaders out there. They were all kind of losing the goal from a set piece. Heads were down kind of thing. Oh, here we go again kind of thing. There was no confidence in the team. The team was shot and every time they had a set piece against them, everybody in the ground knew there's going to be a goal here. They just had no confidence whatsoever when they were defending set pieces, and they just didn't look as if they could score. And just kind of their confidence went out the window.
But I think that moment highlighted that, and I think for the weeks that followed, whether you like it or not, people talked about it. Players even talked about it. Even the players themselves have reflected and said
it was eight or nine games really. Yeah, it took them to recover.
But players are not going to look at that. That's what I'm saying.
But it was part of the catalyst for everyone in the media then talking about. They couldn't get away from that conversation about that goal.
Well, not really. It was Jordan Pickford, if anything, was going to get a little bit of stick. But not necessarily the whole team, because you said the whole team played well that day. But I just think that when you're looking for leaders, especially when things aren't going your way, that is when you need the strong ones to step forward. I don't think we had many of them. You know, you look at Michael Keane, bought for a lot of money, quiet lad. You look at the boy Lucas Digne, quiet lad. You know, and Zuma, big lad, quiet lad. There was no...
When things are going wrong, was there?
Exactly. You need a leader and you think, come on, let's... I just felt every time they conceded a goal, I just looked at them and they just had
the injury to Idrissa Gueye as well.
Idrissa Gueye, but the heads went down and it was like, oh, nothing. No confidence. Mm. And it just looked as if they were playing...
Turned it right round, though, didn't he?
But then, all of a sudden... They have a couple of games where they win and then a couple where they lose. Newcastle away when they should have won the game. You think, here we go again, conceding three goals. So probably conceding goals, which are and cheap goals as well, which has hurt us. But they've turned it round. They came back when least expected, because a lot of big games against top four teams and we performed really, really well. But a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel. But I think next year will be important in terms of what he brings in and who he gets rid of.
It looked to me like towards the end of the season, the manager got it together. They understood the model and what he was all about and, turned it right round. It was a strong finish for Everton.
He came through a very sticky patch just in terms of the media he was getting. Let's go to the phone lines, talk to some of the fans tonight. 01514720967, Radio City Legends. Final one of the season. We're going to start on the red side of things with Terry. Evening, Terry.
Hi, Steve. You okay?
Hello, pal. Welcome to the show. David Tomo's here and Graham Sharp as well. What do you want to touch on?
The first point, I just want to sort of make a point that, you know, I'm really proud of the Liverpool team and, you know, even knowing that it wasn't in our hands there, we still done what we needed to do on the day, which is obviously a difficult one for the players to sort of turn up and know that, you know, they can't actually really affect anything besides just to win the game and hope for the best. So, to get there and you know, do our business, I thought that was really professional by the team, and you know, credit to them. But the main point that I really want to say, you know, what I think not enough is probably getting said about it is, what's the club stance on the way UEFA are allocating these tickets? You know, and why at what point are the clubs and, you know, the fan groups and stuff really going to say enough's enough at the way that we get treated as fans?
What are you talking about for the final?
Yeah, for the final.
Yeah, me and Sharpie just been talking about that there. It's absolutely disgraceful. And the price, some of the prices on the black market now is, it's unaffordable to the layman to take his family to go and watch the game. Not only that, you look at EasyJet banging up the prices 650%. The hotel rooms going up 1,000%. I mean, what's all that about?
Yeah, it's just another joke. I mean, and the thing is, you know, the way UEFA sort of build their competitions, they turn around to the clubs and say it's UEFA's responsibility how the tickets get allocated, and basically we own the final and we own the tickets. But, you know, obviously the clubs are on the gravy train and taking the money from these finals, but at what point do they look after their end user and their consumer, you know what I mean, and basically say we need to make a stand here and basically say we're not even entertaining being in these competitions unless you're going to guarantee that 50% or more of them tickets, you know, if not more, go to actual fans, because it's just not right. You know, like, I'm a Liverpool fan there, I've got a season ticket and I've been to, you know, all the home games, difficult to get to the aways, and I'm now in a position where I'm in a ballot, and you know, there's every chance that I won't get a ticket. I've paid for my travel, I've got accommodation in Madrid, but I might be going there and not being able to get a ticket unless I'm willing to pony up about £1,000.
Yeah. And you won't be the only person. There'll be tons of people watching on screens.
You know, the one
there.
Thing that would stop it, if the fans didn't go, but that's never going to happen. They know that's never going to happen. You know,
and that's it. Yeah. They live on that inertia of the fan. You know, like that the way the fans, it's like they make a living on the back of that loyalty. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, we know that you won't do anything about it. And that's where I feel like the clubs now should be saying, look, this has just gone too far now. It's ridiculous, this situation where, you know, corporate partners and the UEFA family are ending up.
I think there's another 35,000 tickets gone to corporate, isn't it?
Yeah, it's absolutely diabolical, I think. And I don't know. I mean, you know, we've got some good reps on the fan groups in Liverpool now. Obviously, you've got Tony Barrett and stuff like that. But I don't know. It just feels like there's not enough gets done from the club perspective, you know, to really sort of, like, get at it. Especially since UEFA, you'd imagine that, to be honest, they're probably terrified of any breakaway European Super Leagues and stuff. Really, the clubs have got the power, you know, to basically dictate terms to UEFA. They don't feel like they're really doing that and protecting the fan.
I suppose in terms of Liverpool, if you have 16,000 tickets, this ballot takes place, and there's not much the club can do other than do the ballot, is there?
Yeah. No, I appreciate the club's in the position that's what it's being given, and they've got to do it best, you know, as best they can to sort of get them to fans. But I feel like the club should be basically saying to UEFA, this is not acceptable. You know, only giving us 16,000 in a ground that seats better part of 70.
Yeah. I think it's more prevalent because the same happened last year in the final, so the Liverpool fans are fully aware of it.
Yeah.
Do you remember when we discussed this earlier in the season and we said there should be three or four venues that always hold it and they're 100,000-seater venues? So yeah, then you constantly know. So that might be Paris, London.
Even at sea in that, but then slowly but surely the allocation for the fans will get cut back. And they'll give more to corporate. Mm. You know, they're looking at all the sponsors and everything else, and the day of the common fan going and looking after them kind of thing have gone. You know, if you can spend £600, £700, £800 on a ticket, that's what they want. You know, and it's wrong. It's totally wrong.
The thing is, Sharpie, I mean, UEFA, the prestige of their competition falls away if the fan isn't there.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you get all your corporates and your suits and all that, but none of them are going to cheer and bring any atmosphere. So it's like, you know, they've got to be careful, because it will come to an inflection point where, you know, the fans can't afford to go or won't go. Mm. And all of a sudden you're left with empty seats or soulless stadiums. So, but I don't know, I just feel like not enough's getting done, and it seems to be like a perennial thing every time a European competition.
You going out on your own, Terry?
No, I'm going with my dad and my uncle, but we've had to go all around the world to get there.
Terry, tell us where you're going.
So we fly from Doncaster Airport to Bucharest and then into Madrid. And then to come home, we've got a flight from Madrid to Marrakesh and back to Manchester.
You see, that almost beats mine. So mine is Manchester, Paris Alicante, and drive. And then on the way back, Madrid Alicante, Mallorca. Mallorca, Dublin. So I'm flying past Liverpool. And then I'm going back from Dublin to Manchester.
Mental.
You've got to do it, haven't you, Terry?
I know you've got to do it. You've got to get there, and, you know, hopefully we get there and we can do the business.
Well,
this year, but
fingers crossed for the ballot for you. All the best, pal. Thank you very much indeed.
All right.
Thanks, Terry.
Good luck. Cheers.
He's,
right,
tonight.
Yeah, absolutely, Bob on. If you want to follow Terry's call, that 0151 472 0967, Radio City Legends. Graham Sharp here tonight on the blue side of things. Let's get some Everton calls in. David Thompson as well.
No, it's fine.
Talking Liverpool. We'll be back in a moment or two.
0151 472 0967.
An hour of football banter and debate. The Legends with Graham Sharp and John Aldridge.
Radio City and Radio City Talk.
So this is what the game's all about now. It's about money, prize money, times on appearances on the television. Listen, that's the way it's been for a long time with the Premier League. But you just wonder that, you know, the likes of the three relegated clubs, what will they do? Will they try and get back up automatically? We know how big the Championship is.
Fulham spent 100 million.
Yeah.
They need that.
Yeah.
Over 100 million.
So it's an interesting one. You know, it's...
This goes to show you can't buy instant safety when you come up. You know, you've got it's got to be a gradual progression. I think, you know, the likes of Huddersfield, they know they're going to be yo-yo between and they're hoping for that, so then they can get stability. But Fulham have just come up and tried to blitz it straight away, and it shot them in the foot.
They were the three it came up with. No, so it was Cardiff, Fulham. Who was the other one that came up?
Oh.
Was that,
who was it?
Fulham.
It was Fulham, Cardiff.
Was it Huddersfield? Oh, no, they had a year. They were here last year.
Who was it? It's just come off.
Wolves. Just to show that on the table, you can't see them.
Wolves.
There you go.
Yeah.
But Wolves.
Because you can achieve something. Some big money handed out there to the different clubs. Man City actually got a million less than Liverpool because Liverpool's TV money was slightly higher, but that's the cash that will be distributed. And then, of course, the fans see that and go, well, that's the cash to be spent on players, but it doesn't always work out that way, does it?
No, not at all. Listen, for the money they get there, they have a lot of expense as well. Football clubs have a lot of expense with wages and everything else, players' wages, so it kind of marries itself out a little bit. But listen, that's the world we live in now. Just a pity they kind of sort out the tickets a little bit better.
Right, let's take another caller. We're going to go to the blue side of things. Let's have a chat with Tony on the Radio City Legends. Evening, Tope.
Evening, boys. You all right?
Have you got him? Yeah, there you go. They've got you now, Tony.
Evening, boys. You all right?
Hi, Tone.
Hi, Graham. Just want to touch on the fantastic end of the season we've had. I know it started, we've had our ups and downs, but to get in a position where we finished, I think it's been a good season for him in the end. From what we've had to work with from the beginning.
Yeah. So what would your aims, Tony, be next year? What would you be thinking?
Next season, I'm looking top six. To be honest, and that might be thinking. But Chelsea have got the transfer embargo, haven't they? They could lose Hazard as well. So we could pick Chelsea. Seventh should be.
You'd be pipping Manchester United at the rate that they're going.
We could pick Manchester United, but it just depends.
Need another 12 points. It's a 12-point improvement.
Have you heard any gone Luka Dean? Man United sniffing around him?
No, I don't think so. Listen, I think with the likes of those players and players that we've got in the contracts, I think, you know, we're the ones that dictate. You know, I think Idrissa Gueye, people talking about him going as well, but again, he's in contract, so we dictate that as well. So the only ones I would be worried about at the moment are obviously Gomez, the midfield player, and Zuma, who I think will go back to Chelsea. I think he'll be a big loss. I think I liked him, Zuma. So, Tony, listen, we just have to make sure that, you know, I've said it time and time again, we have got players coming back into the football club who've been out on loan, who I think are going to find it difficult to move on. The Blassies of this world, the Bessies, the Vlasic's, you know, Morales coming back as well, Ramirez coming back. You know,
Nathan Williams out of contract also.
He's out, he doesn't come back. Yeah, so, but we've still got some big earners here coming back, you know. Now, if they're not in the manager's plans, ideally you'd move them out, but you know how hard that is nowadays when players will just sit and say, I'm not moving anywhere unless you pay me up.
They're not going to move. I was surprised when they gave Morales a new contract. And then by reporting, he's done something in the training ground, or he's fallen out with someone in the training ground, and then we've ended up moving him on.
But I just think in that equation, James McCarthy, who wasn't even in the squad on Sunday, you know, you don't know what the situation is going to be with him. You've got Jagielka out of contract, you've got Baines out of contract. So there's going to be a big turnaround of players, and You know, I think
and
it's
we don't want another shipment of what we did last time. Like, let's go and buy 5 number 10s and stuff like that.
Not at all. So I think Marcel Brands and the manager, you know, obviously they'll have sat down and planned things already and what their targets are and who their targets are and who they're hoping to get off. But as I said, I think it's going to be a difficult summer
we
for those guys.
We definitely need a striker, Graham. I'll be honest with you. Mm. I do like Dominic Calvert-Lewin, but he's still learning. He doesn't, and he's not a prolific goal scorer at this moment in time.
Mm-hmm. He's improved dramatically though the last 18 months, hasn't he?
Yeah, no, he has improved dramatically. That's why. But for him to be spearheading our attack, I don't think at this moment in time he's. Mm-hmm.
I think he's scored more goals than Rashford this season, has he? Mm-hmm. 10, 11 goals.
Who?
Dominic Calvert-Lewin. Mm-hmm. He scored more goals than Marcus Rashford.
I don't know how many Rashford scored.
Hey, Sharpie, what about all those links with Richarlison in the Sunday newspaper? Did
you
see those?
Yeah, I heard that as well.
Did you see it? We were all over the back pages yesterday.
I got a paper yesterday.
Yeah, no.
Well, that doesn't mean you can't react to it. Tell us what you think. No, they're all saying that clubs are going to be sniffing around him now this summer.
But again, I think we're in a situation where we've signed him on a contract, so I think we dictate whether he goes or not and you know what the price
wouldn't
is. I think he's done well.
Around Wolves players because they've got some cracking players. You'd think they'd be sniffing around them as well,
yeah,
wouldn't you?
Yeah.
They could be losing. I wish they'd leave us alone, to be honest.
Well, I think it's the agent, isn't it, at Wolves?
Yeah.
He does all. But I think Richarlison has done well in terms when you look at his goal scoring record. At times, he infuriates you. You know, you think, wow. Yeah. You know, stand up, don't stop falling over.
Is he an out-and-out centre forward or is he a winger?
No.
He doesn't know his best position at the moment, does he? Plays in wide.
For me, David, I would have him wide. He scored
most of his goals from wide, though. I think Graham coming in, sneaking in round the back and stuff like that. So.
Yeah, I don't think you could put him as main striker.
And I
agree. Dominic Calvert-Lewin, listen, and we've said it time and time again, he will get judged by the goals he scores, but what will go unnoticed is all the unselfish work he does as well. You know, gets into channels, gets a hold of things. Yeah, he needs to improve in his finishing, but hopefully that will come. So, you know, what we can't afford to do is like bring in a new striker, whoever it might be, and then just banish Dom to substitute players. Yeah, he's got to use
him and bring him on.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, look at Leighton Baines. Luca Dean's had a cracking season.
Yeah.
And we brought him in. He had one good game, then he had a bad game because he wasn't getting enough game time. Mm-hmm. He just wasn't getting enough game time. We should be using him. Mm. I feel like Cardiff are gone now, so you know what, at the teams in the lower echelons of the league, we should be rotating the squad a bit better. But
Tony, thank you very much indeed.
Cheers,
top points. What's Richarlison's value, just out of interest? Because I'm reading here he's a £70-80 million player now. That's what they're saying in the
Premier
press.
League. If you have a decent season, your price goes up.
Is he a £70 million player?
No, for me at the moment, I still is a young lad. He still has got a lot to do, but he's got potential, obviously.
Looks like the agents are working hard there.
Yeah.
Something's been said behind
the
scenes.
To get him a new contract or a move, one of the two.
Yeah.
What about this for a stat regarding Liverpool? Klopp's Liverpool were better than 117 of the 120 previous English champions.
Seen that today.
Bothered.
Well, you might not be, but our next caller might be. It's Lee. He wants to talk about Liverpool. Well, I'm just saying.
It doesn't get you anything.
Well, it
does
doesn't.
It?
But I'm just saying that shows how good they were.
Yeah, they were. They did well, but never won it.
Right, Lee, come on. Evening, Lee. Welcome to the show.
No worries, mate.
Come on, put Sharp in his place. What do you want to talk about?
Put Sharp in his place. He's 43 points behind us. I'll put him in
his
place.
Hey, listen. What's his name?
Lee.
Lee. You're right, Lee. You won the same as us.
I've spoken to you often. I think the last time I mentioned points, I think you were 31 behind us, and you ended up 43. So
Lee, the most important thing, how many points were you behind City?
We were.
Of course. Sorry, I forgot about that. I thought you wanted to talk about Liverpool, but I forgot about that stat.
No, we'll talk about Liverpool, no problem.
Yeah, go on.
25 points we made up on them this season.
Yeah,
you
did.
Fantastic season. I hope Tomo was happy as a Liverpool fan. I hope all the Liverpool fans are happy, even though we didn't come out on top. We've very much still got something to look forward to. Our season's not over, Graham.
Yeah, you're right. You know,
we're not in flip-flop mode just yet, mate.
Yeah, I know. I hope you win it, because if you don't...
Yeah, of course. We'll come to that, you know, as I'm learning. But I'm confident that we'll win it. I think pound for pound for a better team than Spurs. We proved that in the league. We beat them home and away. So I've got no problems there. I'm completely confident. I'm more worried about how we're going to get down there and down to Madrid and stuff like that. But just looking back at the season, you can pick it apart. You can look at being 1-0 up at Arsenal and they equalise late on. You can look at Mane's 13 millimetres against City away. There's a multitude.
You can look at all the points dropped as well, but look at the points we made up in the last minute as well, or the last 10 minutes of games. You know, we were lucky against Spurs, obviously lucky against Everton. So, I don't think you can pick apart the season like that.
No, I'm just going to take the positives out of it. It's been the best season of football I've ever watched as a Liverpool fan in over 30 years for me.
Mm-hmm. Would you go with that?
Yeah, I would.
Best season of football you've watched.
Yeah, and it's probably the most entertaining Premier League I've ever seen. And that's without doubt.
For me, it's the best Liverpool team, Dave.
It's better than the old Kevin Keegan one.
Well, I was hoping, John, because, you know, again, I do speak to you often, but, you know, the team of Aldridge, Beardsley and Barnes, he was the best team that I saw in the flesh. But this team, they're phenomenal, and it's only a matter of time. They're all locked down for 5 years. Jürgen's about to sign a new 5-year contract, apparently. So I think Everton's absolutely set up, and what we've got to do now is just say, can we get another 3, 4, or 5 points next season? That's all we need.
It's a big ask, isn't it, though?
It is a big ask, but the only thing the improvements I can see is, I think the team's fantastic. I think the improvement that now needs to take place is to do with the squad, bringing in real strength and depth for the squad, because he's going to lose a few players. I think Sturridge is going to be out the door.
Brewster's coming through though, Dave, and he's going to come through, I think.
Yeah, Brewster, yeah, but I think if you look at the City bench and the City squad...
That's what 700 million buys.
Absolutely,
but
absolutely.
It's another story. I think the thing is, I think what he's done every season, the boss, he's looked at, you know, where we failed. And he's plugged the gap magnificently, and they've made progress and progress. And the
recruitment's been unbelievable over the last 3 years.
He hasn't made a bad signing since he's been at the club. He has not made a bad signing. He hasn't made a signing that's failed.
That's Michael Edwards for you.
Do you know what I mean? But so I think the thing is, I think what we need to do is we need to look at, you know, can we do the same again? Can we win 30 games again? Very much definitely. Can we then look at the point where we, you know, there's going to be 8 or 10 games where you're going to drop points, but can we make them up? Can he go and buy some more goals? Yes. Can he make us a bit tighter in midfield? Probably. Can he make us a bit more creative? Probably. So, you know, it's all...
I'm not sure he can buy us any more goals than what we've already got. Two centre-forwards with the golden boot. Yeah.
I thought you said you were happy with what you had.
No, I am, Graham, but I think the thing is you cannot rest and sit. I know he's talking about developing it further, but if any of those three get injured, what are we left with? So he's got to go and buy a striker, in my opinion. He's got to go and buy and reinforce the strike force. He's got to, in my opinion, reinforce the central midfield. If you think of Milner and Henderson, Henderson's only 29, but they're getting old compared to the players of Cock.
It's the miles on the clock with Milner, but he's a machine.
But, you know, he's going to tinker, I think, and that's a good position that we're in now. He doesn't have to do a overhaul. It's like Everton, really. You know, you've got to tinker. Everton have got to do it to another degree, but he's got to go by 1 or 2 or 3 players, Cock, and we're finished. We're ready.
Lee, thank you very much indeed. We need
to Madrid.
Right, okay.
Just
go on very quick.
Yeah, we're going by motorhome. Liverpool to Cardiff, Dover to Calais to Bordeaux to Le Mans to the Biarritz.
Best way to do it.
In a Winnebago.
That's the best way to do it.
That's all right, isn't it?
Do you know what? It's going to come in at less than £250 each.
Wow.
That's a big, well done. That's the best way to do it, and enjoy your trip as well. Rather than
when are you setting off? How many days before?
We're getting the van on the Thursday morning, so we're going to get into France Thursday night and get down there as far as we can.
Brilliant. Yeah.
Then we'll drive down. Apparently there's a Scouse takeover in Salou going on.
Salou. Oh, good luck with that one, Salou.
The way it's gone round, all the road trips are into Salou on the Friday night, and then there's a convoy going into Madrid on the Saturday from there. So that's the way it's gone out so far.
Safe journey, Lee. Mm-hmm. Enjoy your travel. Thank you very much indeed.
Last thing.
Come on, hurry up. We've got to go.
There's a constellation that Liverpool never won the title today.
What's that?
And that is, I work for a company called Push On in Manchester. Now, the Manchester Ship Canal runs behind our office. And I said back in February, if Liverpool win the league,
I will get a full kit on and jump clean into the canal. So I didn't have to do that. So all good and well. See you next season, lads. Have a great summer.
All the best.
I hope you can swim.
But he didn't have to wear a city kit and jump into the canal.
No.
You wouldn't want to jump into that, would you?
No, really.
Did you notice he started off talking about going in a motorhome, then it went to a van by the end of it?
Yeah, yeah.
What is Lee travelling in?
They're the best times.
Yeah.
Like, if it's a good set of lads, 20, to go there.
23 yeah. hours, it'd be yeah. fine. Few yeah. stops. Right, 7:10. It's Radio City and Radio City Talk. We're going to take a short break, and then we're going to talk with our producer, Matty, our second producer, because right. he's that tramir nuts.
Yeah,
he's gone down for the second leg against Forest mm-hmm. Green. So we'll catch up with him in a moment or two. I don't know if he's on the terraces already. It's the Legends on Radio City.
0151 4720 967.
An hour of football banter and debate. The Legends with Graham Sharp and John Aldridge.
Radio City and Radio City Talk.
14 minutes past 7 o'clock. It's David Thompson and Graham Sharp tonight. But it's important we touch on Tranmere Rovers. Our intrepid producer Matty Horton has headed down there because he's absolutely Tranmere nuts. And after Friday night's heroics with a 1-0 win against Forest Green, it's all to play for. Matty, how are you?
I'm all right, Steve. I'm a little bit nervous.
The boys are curious to know, have you bought into the whole vegan thing that goes on at Forest Green?
I'm literally just licking my lips from my vegan burger and my chips. So, I'm proper indulging the experience, I can tell you that, yeah.
So for anyone who doesn't know, it's the most environmentally friendly club in Britain. Is that right, Matty? Is that how you'd call it?
Yeah, that's right. I think it's 100% vegan. So it's solar panelled. They've got an organic pitch and there's no meat products in the ground. So it's all vegan.
Matty, what about the game? You went the game at the weekend. Were Tranmere deserving of the 1-0 lead going into it?
I think so, Sharpie. Yeah, I think, having gone down to 10 men, I think we could have made the extra man count a little bit more and, you know, gone into tonight's game with a bit more of a cushion. But all in all, you know, these Forest Green beat us at home and they beat us away in the league. So to get a win coming into the second leg was really important. And obviously for them not to concede and for us to have us to concede an away goal. So I was happy with the 1-0, but I think it just makes it a little bit more nervy tonight because, you know, whoever gets the first goal will decide, you know, I think that'll have a big say in who goes on to win.
I'm going to test you here. Any team news?
Yes, unchanged.
Well done, mate. He's on the ball.
I'm on the ball. I know what I'm doing. Yeah,
that'll be the first time this season you've been on the ball.
how many Tranmere fans are there, Matty?
I think, from what someone on the coach was saying, I think we've brought 1,100. So we've got two sides of the ground. Where I am at the moment, I'm on the side of the ground, about halfway. We've got the stand behind the goal to my left, and then Forest Green. I've got the all-seated stand and the other side behind the goal. So I think we probably, if we don't outnumber them, I think we've got equal amounts to what they've got.
Yeah, what was the attendance of the first game?
I think it was about 10.5.
Oh, brilliant. Brilliant.
That was with 300 odd Forest Green fans who apparently allegedly broke our seats as well, which is not very good.
Well, don't you be reciprocating tonight.
There's no seats to break where I am.
It's environmentally friendly, Matty. Were you surprised that Newport got one over Mansfield yesterday?
Not really, Steve,
no.
Because they came into the playoffs on a good run of form.
Right.
They had a game in hand and they were three places below going into the last couple of weeks of the season, and they're on a bit of a roll. So out of the two, I'd have probably preferred Mansfield if we were to progress tonight because they're on a great run of form, Newport. But, you know, whoever we got would have been... it'd be a tough game, and that's presumed we get through tonight. You know, we've still got a job to do here tonight.
Mm. Fingers crossed for you, Matty. Behave yourself and enjoy the footy.
I will.
Yeah,
I will,
all the best, Matty. Good luck.
Right, cheers, Sharpie. See you soon.
You see Matty pointing the finger then at the Forest Green fans? Yeah. Reckons they trash Prenton Park.
Mm-hmm. What a fantastic crowd for the first game. 10,500.
Yeah, it is brilliant, isn't it?
Absolutely brilliant.
Friday night football. Right, let's do a bit of pens. Tomo. Lot on your shoulders.
There's
here.
No pressure on his shoulders.
Although doesn't like the Reds losing this. Yeah.
Well, Dom was telling me about this. The quiz.
Five pens.
Dom doesn't like the quiz.
No, three pens. 3 pence each. Sharpie needs to finish the season with just something.
Yeah.
Something to hold on to. It's like his FA Cup final, this. Mm. So it's all on you. Well, who do you want to go first?
I'm going to let David go.
David, choose one between 1 and 6.
What you like in music? Are you quite good?
Terrible.
Not this sort of music.
Is it not? No.
Go on.
4.
Number 4. Name the song and the artist. Oh. There we go. We'll start off.
You'll
with
get
this.
It easy.
Right. Song and artist. Right, do you want to hear it again?
Yep.
Right, there you
REM.
Go.
REM.
Mm-hmm. Oh, REM. And what is it? Where's my timer? I'll find my timer. I've lost it. Oh, there we go. Oh, there we go.
Can't think of the name of the song.
I have no idea.
Sing it along. That's normally what Aldo does. But then he comes up with some ridiculous lyrics.
No, I have no idea.
Did you know it?
No idea.
Is Everybody Hurts?
It is one of those where you don't want to watch schoolboy football.
Sorry, Sharpie, on to you.
6.
Number 6. What club did Barcelona sign Everton's Yerry Mina from?
Oh, come on.
Nothing obvious?
Yeah, I mean, Barcelona signed from. Sorry, I'll just say somebody in France. Say Lyon.
Oh, dear me!
No, it's Palmeiras.
Palmeiras, no idea.
Right.
It's a good start.
Tomo, what do you want?
2.
Number 2. What club did Tranmere sign James Norwood from?
4 years ago today.
4 years ago today, is it? Great stats coming out of our production team there. It's topical.
Banger.
Banger is the answer.
Absolutely no idea.
Forest Green. That's why it's topical. Sharpie.
5.
Easy peasy.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You've told me you've been there. What is the name of the stadium?
Oh, I don't know.
For this year's Champions League final, we talked about it in the break in depth.
Madrid.
It's not the Madrid Stadium.
Don't know. Stafford W. Don't know.
What do you call it then?
Stafford W.
Yeah,
it is. The Wonder. Metropolitano.
Wonderwall. I've been hearing that all weekend. Is it that? The Wonderwall Stadium?
No, it's the Wonder Metropolitano.
No.
Okay, let's pass over. No one's got a correct question yet.
No.
Go to a tiebreak here.
It might well do. Go on.
What's left? What number?
You've got number 3 and...
1.
Yeah, 1 and 3.
Number 1.
How many clean sheets has Alisson had this season?
21.
He's gone for 21.
Mister!
Yes!
This has got to be an easy.
Why is it going to be easy?
Because that was an easy Liverpool question.
I think the song and artist is easy,
if you know it.
Fair.
Yeah, but it's been on the television all weekend.
Right. Well, this is easy. Christian, is this easy?
This is easy.
This is super easy. You ready? It's mystery voice time.
Oh, go on.
Yeah. This will take it to a tie break. Who's this?
All of them playing well.
Gaffer.
The gaffer.
Business!
Right, tie break time. Let's have a go.
You must have been out late on Sunday. That, how can you put that on?
Yeah.
Hey, mystery voice. That was poor, Christian.
Rubbish, Christian. Here's the tie break. Iker Casillas, of course, who recently had a health scare, but thankfully it's okay, holds the record for the most appearances in the Champions League. Most appearances in the Champions League. But how many has he made? So one of you can choose a number, and the other one could go higher or lower. So, who wants to choose a number? How many appearances has Iker Casillas made?
116
appearances in the Champions League. Sharpie, higher or lower?
Where did you get that from?
116 over how many seasons?
I was just thinking that 10, so you're talking about 11, 10. I'd say more.
You've gone higher than 116? It had to come to an end. 181 appearances in the Champions League.
So many years is that then? It's a few years he's been there, isn't he?
Tomo, if you can avoid Aldo for like the next three weeks, it's probably worth your while.
I dived in too quick. I should have let Sharpie make the decision.
So go on then. How many? If he plays in all the games in the Champions League, how many is that a season?
Oh, don't.
Don't
break it down.
Put two.
Hang on. Right, we got five. Sharpie, we've got 3 minutes and we've got one caller left. Let's get him to air. Let's talk about Everton. Maybe Mike's got the answer to that. He's going to be our last caller on the Radio City Legends this season. Evening, Mike.
Evening, lads. You okay?
Evening, Mike.
Aye, okay. Yeah, just a quick call, yeah, just in regards to how things have gone this season. And the fact that, you know, we all started the season with a lot of promise and probably expected more than what we got. But if we're being honest, we'd probably take, in a way, how we finished the season with the promise that's being shown by the players and obviously the idea that the manager has instilled in the, on the squad.
Yeah, I think so. Listen, the one good thing now is that Sam Allardyce can't say that he finished in a higher position than what Marcus Silva done. But no, listen, Mike, I think it's been an up-and-down season, but I thought at the time when the people were calling for his head, I just think we had to show a little bit more patience. I think, you know, he inherited a situation which wasn't the best situation. He had to very quickly get players out the door, okay, on a lot of them on loan deals. And it was always going to take time. You know, I keep saying this to people, and I know people say, well, you don't get a lot of time in football, but you look at Liverpool now, and you look at Man City, they've got the manager in place, he's been there for a while now, he's doing things the right way, give him time, back him if he can, and hopefully the rewards will come. So we've been in a situation where we've just been sacking managers right, left and centre. Martinez, you know, Koeman came in, it was a disaster, you know, spending a lot of money. We need to get a time of stability and back the manager, you know, and listen, of course results will always determine if a manager stays or goes, but I just think this guy needs to be given a little bit more time and a little bit more backing.
Yeah, I mean, 100%. I've always been a big advocate for giving this manager in particular time, and I think obviously the last 2.5-3 months have shown that we've got, you know, I think we've got 12 points against the top six this season compared to 4 last season.
Yeah.
You know, I was there at Spurs yesterday, and you know, even when we went down, you still had that hope that this side can get back into the game. And I know, obviously, had a feel of a last game of the season, didn't it? You know, both sides had injuries. It wasn't probably played at full pace, but there was players on the side that can make a difference. You know, Bernard, he's coming deep to receive the ball. He wants to get involved. Even Walcott yesterday, he was quiet, but, you know, it's a great finish for the goal. I just think that, you know, all in all, the manager needs to be given time. Tottenham are a prime example with Pochettino. Very, very similar, I think, to ourselves. And, you know, new ground. They've given Pochettino time. He's got a good balance of that squad. And it just shows to me that time is always needed with your manager. And next season, we can be, I think, a real threat for that top six.
Mike, thank you very much indeed. Thank you for being our final caller on the Radio City Legends this season. So we head into... Well, we don't head into the summer if we're Liverpool. How are they going to do? Give us 30 seconds on the Champions League final, Tomo.
It's a formality for me. It's a victory.
Yeah?
Absolutely, yeah. I think, you know, we're just going to finish the season off really well. If Liverpool turn up and play the best football, put the best foot forward, they win.
Yeah. Sharpie, go with that? Liverpool, the better team of the two?
Oh, the better team of the two, says that. But finals are finals. You never know, do you? But, you know, again, if you're looking in form, you'd probably say, yeah, Liverpool. But you never know.
Never know.
You don't. Celtic Rangers, prime example again at the weekend. You know, everybody expected Celtic to go there and win, but Rangers at home, Rangers raised their game unbelievably so and won 2-0.
Spurs are an expansive team and they can give them a game. They definitely can give them a game.
Thanks, David Thompson, thank you very much indeed. Graham Sharp, thank you for your efforts this season. Absolutely fantastic. Radio City Legends. And I'll be back tomorrow morning from 7 a.m. on Radio City Talk.